Can you hear that? Nothing? No, I didn't think so. That is because I'm driving an electric car. It doesn't really make much noise. It's a Tesla Model S. We've borrowed it from Tesla headquarters here in Oslo. We're going to take it for a spin. We want to find out why so many people here drive electric cars. There are 150,000 on the road. Norway, the population isn't much more than Ireland. We only have about 3,000 on the road. So we want to find out how they've managed to do it. We also want to find out how this car feels to drive. While we get this car out onto the motorway, I want you to take a little listen to Sturle Freudenlund. He is with the Norway Electric Vehicle Association. I met him a little bit earlier and we had a chat about all things electric vehicle. He talked to me about how they've encouraged so many people here to drive EVs.
I think it's a combination of that they have realized that EVs actually are very good. And of course that we have a rather big pack of incentives in place, which has made this possible, because they might not have opted for an EV if the price tag wasn't favorable.
So you mentioned the package of incentives. What are they? What would I get if I bought an EV in Norway?
Yeah, you have no sales tax, you have no VAT. To buy one, you have no taxes in the first place. You pay what the car actually costs. So when you have it, you get exemptions from parking, highway ferries, and toll roads. And so in some places, you also may use the bus lane, and you have several other perks as well. So that's what makes it really, really beneficial to drive an EV. And on top of that, you have much lower driving costs because you pay roughly 1/5 of the price of petrol for the equivalent of driving distance.
That was Sturle Freudenlund there of the Norwegian Electric Vehicle Association. Bit more background noise, as you can tell. It's because we're out on the motorway and this car, I don't mind telling you, it's an absolute joy to drive. And I look down here at my screen, there's a big, big screen in the Tesla, and you can see charging points dotted along the navigation map. And that's a feature of driving electric cars in Norway. There's over 7,000 charging points, nearly 400 Tesla ones alone. You compare that to Ireland and the arguments that people don't want to switch because the infrastructure isn't there. But another point that Sturle made to me when I spoke to him was that actually when people made the big switch here, the infrastructure was poor as well. He thinks you make the switch first, then force the infrastructure to follow.
You need to have cars on the road to actually create this market. So the chicken and egg discussion, what comes first? I think putting up the fast chargers first, that might work, so people see them, but they can't use them.
I know you mentioned that you're working with other groups and like-minded people around Europe to create this network. Would that be your advice to people lobbying in Ireland? Look, if the government has X amount of money, lobby them for incentives as opposed to investing in infrastructure?
Yeah, I think so. I think other countries might not be able to do exactly what Norway has done. But I think introducing several incentives or perks, for instance, like free parking downtown, or charging, slow charging on street level, maybe not fast charging, but actually make it attractive to buy an EV. Or maybe say that if you drive a polluting car, you're not allowed to drive here. But if you have an EV, you can do so.
Sturle there on the need to incentivize people to make the switch. Look, for me, I had to give up the Tesla. It is a joy to drive. And look, they are on the road in Ireland. There are Teslas nowhere near the levels they have here in Norway. But there are some supercharge points as well, and Leash and Tip and others being put in place. But I couldn't help feeling when I was driving it that it's arguably unfair to offer incentives right across the board. Like, this was a luxury car. And if someone here can afford a Tesla, do they really need a tax break on top of it? And what about the tipping point, the point at which so many people are driving electric vehicles that the government must start collecting taxes again in order to pay for the upkeep of roads, for example? These are questions I'm hoping to put to my next guest I'm on the way to meet now, Audun Herning, who is the party secretary of the Socialist Left here in Norway.
There will be a tipping point. We'll have to keep looking at it. But right now, I think it's a great success, as we have the largest share of electric cars in the world. There will be, some of these will go through wealthy people. I think that's one thing we should always discuss, if that's like the right way. But like my own personal view, I think this tax is made to make the transfer from fossil fuel cars to electric cars. More people to do that makes it a success. Then we can look at other parts of the tax system to make sure that you have redistribution of wealth. So you can tax higher high incomes or profits from stocks or money in the bank. Those kind of elements will be making much more redistributive system. So I think it's necessary to look at the function of the tax, not just it will always have different effects.
Out in Herning there, party secretary of Socialist Left here in Norway. As for the people themselves, the plain people of Oslo, they like their incentives. They certainly don't sound like they plan on giving them up anytime soon.
You can also you can park free if you drive on the road. It's free. You don't pay tax on it when you buy it. It's, if all people had an electric car, the air would be much better in the city. So,
but they with the electric car, they don't pay anything. It's for free. They can just run around. All that. So the people who are not afford to buy it, they are very angry. Yeah. They think it's unfair.